Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer with you following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 41-34 win Saturday night over the Georgia Bulldogs at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Everybody still breathing? You're breathing okay? Yeah, you probably went and got ice cream and just figured put on some comfy second half clothes. Didn't need to sweat it all that much. 30-7 lead at the half for the Alabama Crimson Tide, but those Bulldogs came roaring back in the second half. Next thing you know, you're down a point, a little over 2 minutes to go, but there's Ryan Williams one more time. Jalen Milroe capping a memorable night. Not that it was over after Williams' touchdown. And you're probably kind of like me when he was in mid-stride down that far sideline. You're thinking maybe just fall down at like the 8 or something. Although I don't think from a time management perspective, it would have worked out all that well. Speaking of time management, I'm sure we're going to have plenty of comments and we'd love to hear from you in the show chat here as well. But so much to get into from a memorable game between the two preeminent programs in all of college football. Didn't look like it was going to live up to the billing at all because Alabama wasted no time. It was breathtaking. Wasn't it the start to that game? Alabama with the four straight possessions going straight down, getting into the end zone, 28-0 there in the first half. And part of you knows that Georgia is too good to let it get, 52-17 ish or something crazy like that. I mean, this isn't Ole Miss, all right? So you're thinking, you're going to still have to come out in the second half and take care of business and be smart. Alabama didn't maybe always do that. I think there's some lessons that certainly will be learned. Kalen DeBoer is a very, very successful coach. He doesn't need any help from a lot of folks, but it is different. It does mean more in the Southeastern Conference. And there are some situations against the elite teams in this league where you can look back to even the first half and wonder, wow, did we waste an opportunity there? Did we waste a possession there? Did we maybe get away a little bit from what was really working? And it wasn't like we were trying plays that were schematically next level. It was just we were being us and it was good enough and we were winning by a wide margin. I think there's going to be some of that introspection. Kalen DeBoer strikes me as the kind of guy, humble, not going to be afraid to look at that tape and say, we had some situations here where we probably didn't help our players as much as we should have. But there's also execution that's got to take place when you're trying to close out a team like the Georgia Bulldogs. You had some opportunities defensively on fourth down. The penalties on fourth down were brutal in helping to keep some of those possessions alive. And then Alabama had a couple opportunities. I know we're going to talk about, again, clock management, not running the play clock down. I hear you on all that. You have to have that facet of your offense. And Alabama was snapping the football there with about 4 minutes to go with, 20-something on the play clock. And I understand you're kind of a tempo offense when you're doing your best stuff right now. But situational offense is a big, big thing. And it doesn't mean that you have to be very aware of trying to sustain drives throughout the game. It's just when you do get to 4 minute offense or 4 minutes left in a game, you got to be able to take the clock. And I think Alabama still had some opportunities to do that. I mean, the third down completion to Justice Haynes in the flat, when he made Malachi Starks miss, I thought the game was over because I thought he was going to easily convert what was left of that third down. He didn't. He didn't get there. I still don't know what happened. It just felt like all he had to do was literally lunge forward and he's got a first down and, you're in great shape from that point forward. But things happen when you get teams like this together. I thought it was kind of appropriate in some ways that the same corner of the end zone where Matt Stafford back in 2007, Nick Saban's first year at Alabama, Matt Stafford hit that game-winning touchdown pass down there in that corner in overtime. This time, Xavien Brown wasn't having it. The true freshman, the two twos coming up big late. And a little different coverage there. We're playing some pretty much man coverage there. And he paid the price for it a time or two. but he was able to get his eyes early back to the quarterback and kind of had an idea of where the football was at and was able to go up and make a nice catch. It was a heck of a catch. I don't know if he's gotten enough credit maybe for that, the actual catch that he made. But a lot of questions, a lot of comments that you're going to have at the end of the night, a long night. Alabama is 1-0 in Southeastern Conference play, and it feels like it's already played about 10 games after that one. Feels like they went to the 9-game SEC schedule, and Alabama's already played all of them, and it's just one. Long, long way to go. And still, the good news, I think, too, for this team, really in every facet, but especially offensively, defensively, can still improve. You know, there were some guys that prior to this game had done some really, really good things, and then maybe tonight wasn't their best night. You know, you look in the secondary, the explosive plays that really cropped up. Kind of figured Georgia early would go after the corners, go after the back end. They tried it. Alabama held up pretty well in the first half. But the second half, the toothpaste kind of got out of the tube. Give Carson Beck a lot of credit. He also wasn't really hurried much. You know, I thought maybe the biggest play of the game, if Georgia had won the game, I think the biggest play of the game might have been when Alabama did bring six or seven and Beck was able to hit the quick ball out to the right flat. Red Morgan in the game at the Husky, Zabian Brown at the corner, Morgan not able to make the tackle, and that turned into an explosive play. That seemed to give Georgia the life there in the third quarter that it needed. And then Georgia, I thought, made the adjustments on defense too. They essentially said, yeah, you outflanked us a lot there in the first half. You were able to get the edges with the quarterback runs, especially Jalen Milroe, just devastatingly effective in the first half. But you're not going to do that in the second half. And they kind of took that away from Alabama. And again, some execution things and, you know, some misfortune a little bit. I thought into the second quarter, as much as we'll talk about clock management late in the game, I thought Alabama was a little wasteful there late in the second quarter, kind of feeling itself because everything had been going right. You know, got a little cute, was a trick play or two. Look, if they work, everybody's talking about, wow, boy, Kalen DeBoer, Nick Sheridan kept their foot on their throat. But I think you could have kept your foot on Georgia's throat without really getting too far away from what seems simple enough that was working in the first half. So that could have been a what might have been or what could have been scenario. It didn't work out that way, though. End of the day, another win over the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, the Georgia Bulldogs, when you think about success in the Southeastern Conference under Kirby Smart, it's been against everybody, but it hadn't been against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Kirby now 1-6. And I agree, Jack. Jack's checking in here in the comments. The defense didn't get much pressure with four. Didn't always rush four. I mean, it rushed three at times. And, you know, you can kind of criticize that, but I thought in doing some of that and changing the looks, they were able to produce a couple of those four takeaways that they had. Now, it's crazy to think that Alabama was hanging on for dear life in a game that right up until Zabian Brown's interception, Alabama had already taken the football away three times, but those fourth down conversions. And then you have the special team snafu there on the kickoff return. You got Cole Adams back there, Ryan Williams back there. It looked like Cole signaled fair catch, but then Ryan ends up muffing it. You jump on it at the two. All of the pieces were aligning for a very catastrophic finish. But Jalen goes up top. Ryan does some things on the football field after the catch. It's like Michael Jackson in his prime as a performer. Some of the footwork and the way he's able to make people miss, it's wild. I mean, it's James Brown. It's Michael Jackson. It's unbelievable. And we will get into some of the injury stuff because, as you saw here on the channel before we jumped on, and Dexter is making the point right here about Kendrick Law going out in the first half. Totally agree, Dexter. He is a key blocker. He is a X factor player that it's tough for you to account for defensively in terms of, well, I mean, he physically can carry out a lot of what an offense wants in an H even. So how do you account for him? Because he is physical. He will block. We did hear from Kalen DeBoer here post game just a minute ago, said that Kendrick does in fact have a lower extremity injury. I guess we'll learn more here in the next couple of days or so, but you hate to see that, because absolutely, I thought from the outset of the game Saturday night, he was once again a factor that way. And he got after Malachi Starks early in the game and sent the signal to Georgia's not only best defensive player, I think Georgia's best player, and kind of manhandled him. And so that's not something you want to deal with. I give Kobe Prentice a lot of credit. Cole Adams had a big third down catch too, right? That was another scenario there in the fourth quarter. You felt like, okay, you can breathe a little bit, and then you couldn't. Cole Adams, I thought, came up big on a third. Kobe came in, made a couple of grabs there in the second half. But absolutely, you don't really have another Kendrick that you can do some different things with there on and off the football. So big night for Jalen Milroe. Huge night in the first half running the football. Georgia really had no answers for that. I thought going into the game, one of my predictions here on the channel on Friday was that if Alabama's backs between the running backs and the quarterbacks, and we'll pull it up here on the screen, enough of seeing my big head, right? I thought if, get back to the comments here. I thought if Alabama's backs, when you looked at scrimmage yards at the end of the game, if Alabama's backs had the edge over Trevor Etienne and Branson Robinson and Cash Jones and Carson Beck, I'll include him in that mix, in terms of whatever they could produce between rushing yards and receiving yards, then Alabama would be in really, really good shape. And Alabama had a big edge in that regard, in large part because Jalen finished with 117 rushing yards on 16 attempts. Now, he had 106 of those in the first half. So just, again, Georgia did a nice job in the second half keeping that to 11 yards on the ground for Jalen. But Ryan Williams, 6 catches, 177 yards. It's dumbfounding, the numbers that, you know, this guy puts up on a weekly basis. And then to do this against a team like Georgia in his SEC debut, Jeremy Bernard did some nice things. 5 catches for just 25 yards, but he was involved in the run game too, when you talk about those scrimmage yards. So Justice Haynes, 6 carries, 35 yards. It wasn't a big night for Alabama's running backs. I thought situationally, both Jam and Justice had opportunities to convert 4th and 3rd downs. Maybe didn't exactly handle those situations as well as you would like. But when they had opportunities, did pretty good on the ball, did pretty well on the ball. You know, Kendrick, he just had the 1 catch for 19 yards. But boy, Jalen really spread the football around. 11 different receivers on his 27 completions. Ryan with 6 of those. Jeremy with 5. It's a big first half for CJ Dupree. He had the unfortunate interception there late in the second quarter. Jalen trying to fit it in there, kind of hit CJ off his back hip. You end up with a tip ball. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, that was a scenario there late in the first half. If Alabama doesn't win this game, I'm probably looking back on that as much or more than I am how Alabama handled the last 5 or 6 minutes or 7 or 8 minutes of the game in the fourth quarter. But it all worked out in the end, right? It all worked out in the end. Alabama gets the win. We've got Ken checking in here. He says Alabama defense gave up a lot of passing yards, but it limited Georgia to 80 yards rushing. It did give up a lot. Now, you know, when you go up 30-7 or 28-0, you're probably going to give up some passing yards to a guy like Carson Beck, because, you know, I talked about this. I did a Spaces at halftime on X, and it felt like the manner in which Alabama flew down the field on that opening possession, maybe it was Georgia's script to come out throwing a little bit more, but I went into this game probably more worried, or as worried about Trevor Etienne and the run game for Georgia, and even the quick game for Georgia out to the flats and those type of things, than I did Beck hitting plays to his receivers. Now, played out that way down the stretch. I mean, you know, you think you're in a good spot, and boy, Dylan Bell just hits Keon Sabb with a double move from hell. And now you're looking at being down. And then, of course, the very next snap, Milroe goes 75 yards to Ryan Williams for a go-ahead touchdown that ended up being the winning touchdown in the game. But, you know, those are the kind of numbers you're going to give up when you jump out to that kind of lead against that type of quarterback. And that's why a team like Georgia always has a puncher's chance, even in a 30-7 game at the half, or 33-15. That's another situation. I mean, you're up 33-15. You're up three scores there. You know, you got to be able to get home from there. And it's not just the offense. The defense has got to get off the field. I know third down was good to Alabama for a lot of the game defensively, but the fourth downs were just killers, you know. And they were kind of letting them play in the passing game. They were letting the DBs and the wide receivers play. Alabama right before the half, very clear, I thought, pass interference by the Georgia defensive back goes uncalled. Yeah, guys like Devontae Smith running in coverage, making contact. They were kind of letting them play. But yeah, it's a good point about the explosive plays are what really became problematic. And again, as I said earlier, I thought the quick ball against the six-man pressure, we didn't really see six-man pressure after that. And I get it, because at the time, it felt like if you just keep Georgia in front, Georgia really wasn't going much tempo, wasn't in a big hurry, was just really struggling to string together first downs. But then once they hit the quick throw against the blitz and it turned into an explosive play that got them ultimately into the end zone, that proved pretty big. I thought it was interesting, too. Once Georgia got it to, 33-21? Kirby goes for two there. And I think if he kicks it, it's an 11-point game. Georgia goes for two, doesn't get it. You know, could have kind of changed things down the stretch, too, in terms of how it played out. But Beano makes a good point about the penalty. Still had too many penalties. You know, when you're overcoming them with so many chunk plays on offense, Beano, as you know, it doesn't affect you as much. But then late in the game, you know, they start showing up more when you're not having the success on offense. We had a comment here. Patrick says Jalen Milroe hogs the ball. The lack of a running back running game is going to prevent Bama from flourishing. I thought in the first half, especially, a lot of that was by design. They were putting the ball in Jalen's hands and telling him to go do it. And that's what he was doing. Now, there were a couple of plays in the game where I think Jam Miller was on a jet motion one time, maybe Jeremy Bernard later in the fourth quarter in a similar situation. I'm not sure if that was a read situation for Jalen, but he kept on a couple of those. And it felt like that if they had run the corner with Bernard and Miller in those situations, they had what they wanted more, probably out on the corner. But C. Dial checking in here says, first time I had to shut a game off and take a break. Oh, I hear you, C. Dial. Oh, man. Mary Faith Peace checking in here in the comments. What did you think of Nick Sheridan's play calling in the second half? It felt predictable. Georgia anticipated our every move. I'll give Kirby and Glenn Schumann some credit there. Again, as I said earlier, I think they came to the determination that, look, you know, we're going to have to make some changes. And some of the stuff Georgia was doing defensively, I think, was carryover from even the SEC championship game last December, some of the spy techniques. And that's where this is a little different with this staff. You want to spy, you want to keep linebackers up in there, especially if you're going to keep a couple, then we're going to hit the tight end behind you, or we're going to hit the crossers behind you. I thought Jalen looked much more natural for much of the game in doing that. And it has something to do, I think, with his continued evolution. But I think it also goes back to conceptually you know, and the belief that DeBoer and Sheridan have in it, you know, you can pick and choose. I didn't like the trick play call as much in the first half than I did anything in the second half. I thought, again, there were a couple plays where Alabama offensively on conversion plays, the backs could have maybe executed a little better, went and got the first down. So I thought they were actually put in some pretty good positions to do that. It was a combination of things. And then, you know, the muff kickoff was terrible. Yeah, I think the learning point for everybody involved for Alabama is that every possession, no matter what the scoreboard says in this league, is precious. Every snap is precious. So you don't want to be wasteful, even if it's the second quarter and you're up 30-7. If you're having success, you need to kind of ride that for as much. Don't get too far away from that. You know, if you got something special that stems directly off of what your sort of identity is, that's one thing. But throwbacks and stuff like that, and I know, look, I think you had it set up where the one late in the second quarter could have certainly been a huge play. But I don't think that was a situation where they necessarily needed it. I know it's hindsight's 20/20 or 50/50, as a wise man once said. But it seemed like they were getting what they wanted without really needing that. And give the defense a lot of credit there late in the second quarter too, enforcing that safety on the intentional grounding call by Carson Beck. I thought special teams, again, Burnett was fine. Talked about this on Three Predictions yesterday here on the channel. Expected long fields for these offenses because both these punters can boom it. Thorson did that his first time. Ryan Williams actually returned it for -4 yards. Burnett was okay. I thought in the fourth quarter when they really needed him to flip the field, he had like a 41-yarder. So it wasn't his best. But, you know, Alabama tried to play a lot of guys again on defense. Some of it is the rotation that they feel like they can work, especially in the secondary. Deshaun Jones, Red Morgan, Mbakwe at corner with Xavier Brown, Damani Jackson. Now, they don't get too frisky with those safeties. You know, they stick with Sab, who I didn't think it was Sab's best night. Got hit with a double move there late in the game and then had a penalty or two, I think. Malachi had an opportunity for an interception or two. That's the thing. You had four takeaways, and it felt like it could have been 6 or 7. So that's a positive that you can build on. Pass rush, that's still got to get better, especially when you only bring four. Linebacker play, I thought was pretty solid. Again, against the run, you were fine. I was thinking ETN might be a real problem, but you did a pretty good job on him. And so, as we talked about earlier, you get out of there with giving up, what, 80 rushing yards, something like that. You feel pretty good about that. What else do we got? Sully 462 says about the worst second half played by Bama in a long time. In all three phases, it wasn't great. I think you do have to give some credit to the opponent. That was the second ranked team in the country. So again, even at 30-7, you're thinking it can't be this easy. And if you thought that, you were right, because, you know, Georgia had won, what, 40 straight regular season games or something crazy? Last time Georgia lost in a regular season was it 2020? And, you know, when's the last time Georgia played Alabama in the regular season, right? 2020. So kind of lines up there. I think Alabama defensively got pretty tired there in the second half, Jacob. I know he commenting here that the pass rush was gone in the second half. And, you know, Quay gave it a go. I think that's commendable by him. Actually had the big play, I think, on Carson Beck with the strip sack. On Beck had all four of the Dogs' turnovers in the game. They had three interceptions and a forced fumble that was recovered by Alabama. Oh, gosh. What else do we have here before we wrap it up? It's late. It's late. I know you're jacked. I know the adrenaline is flowing. What we got here? Yeah. I mean, Jahad Campbell is special. There's no two ways around that. And the ways that you're able to use him too, between putting him up there at the edge, if you want to do that, and then the ground he can cover. And also the way that he can kind of free up your safeties to make plays in front of them, because he'll run, he'll carry tight ends all the way down the seam. And then you'll see a Sab or a Malachi maybe jump a crossing route in front of that, because he can run with those guys, you know, 30, 40 yards down the field. He also closes up ground very, very quickly. I do. I think it was a, you know, what does Nick Saban always say? Never waste a failure. Well, that's a lesson that maybe Alabama's going to learn in a win, because the second half certainly wasn't what it would have liked it to have been, finishing games, closing out quality opponents. But man, you got so many young guys that got so much valuable experience tonight when you really think about it, right? I thought the offensive line held up pretty good. Mykel Williams gave it a go for Georgia, considered to be perhaps a top 10 pick for the NFL draft next April. Elijah Pritchett had a couple holding calls. Elijah is what he is. I mean, he's limited in what he's going to be able to do in some one-on-ones against a guy like Williams, but hung in there okay. I thought running the football, again, by design in the first half was really good. Just struggled more to stay on the field there in the second half. And it was kind of a two-way problem there, because it seemed like the defense just started to wilt as a part of that. And then Georgia found its legs in terms of kind of getting clued in on what they were getting from Kane Womack. Kane did a nice job. I mean, he mixed it up. It wasn't like he sat there in one look and got lit up, but it was a memorable performance by both these teams. 41-34, Alabama takes care of business again. We're going to have continuing coverage for you right here on Ryer on YouTube. We'll have Talking Tide tomorrow night. Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News will join me. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, do that right now if you don't mind. Hit that subscribe button for us. There is a notification bell there. If you hit that, you'll be alerted to our content as it drops here on Ryer on YouTube. And also, if you wouldn't mind hitting us with a like, a thumbs up, we would appreciate that as well. Yeah, gets a little easier here the next couple weeks for Alabama, thankfully, right? Kind of look at these seasons and thirds, especially from the regular season perspective. 4-0, already used a bye week, but you got to that first sort of quarter pole in great shape. You know, when you think about a 12-team college football playoff these days, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but you felt like going into this game that the winner was – it was going to be hard for the winner of this game, even though it's in late September, not to make the college football playoff. And I think that is the case, because you look at what Alabama's got left of this schedule now. You think about Missouri and Tuscaloosa. You think about Tennessee on the road. You think about LSU on the road, Oklahoma on the road. You know, those four games, I think with the Georgia win in your back pocket, even if you somehow only went 2-2 from those four and you're 10-2, I think you'd still be in pretty good shape where the college football playoff is concerned. Still, though, a lot of stuff on the table for this Alabama team, especially following this 41-34 win over the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to step aside. We'll be back with more coverage of Alabama football, SEC football, all of that right here on Ryer on YouTube. Until next time, thank you and so long, everybody.